From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
All right, happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Michael Plundo, we got Alberto Dueta. Cade McConnell is back with us as well. Steve Kaplowitz with you here on a Tuesday. Busy show today. Barry Coburn's going to drop by in a little bit, give us the lowdown on the 2024 Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitation, since that just leaked out yesterday, and I believe the Sun Bowl Association's releasing that today. So Barry will give us the lowdown on that big holiday tournament. We've got Hall of Fame coverage. We've got actor Greg Sestero dropping by at 5 o'clock. We got a lot going on, a lot happening. Cade's back with us as well. Welcome back. How you doing?
We're doing good. It's good to be back. Glad to be in the studio. It's another hot one today. I feel like all I've done is sweat all day, but it feels good inside here.
Terrific. So have I. Want to hear I spent my lunch hour?
I would love to.
On my hands and knees.
Oh.
Trying to...
And
terrible. Give me a chance to at least explain before I go, oh. On my hands and knees, scrubbing my swimming pool, trying to get black algae out of the plaster as it was growing.
How'd that happen?
If I knew that, we wouldn't have black algae. I have no idea. I get a call, though, earlier today. My wife sends me a photo and says, look at the pool. I said, oh, my God. And what you have to do, essentially, now I did two things. One, put a big chlor tab. You know those big, looks like a hockey puck, but it's chlorine.
Correct.
Swimming pools. Put that on the end of a pole, and you basically scrub out your plaster to remove this black algae, because black algae is the worst stuff for the pool. Did that. Then I go to a pool supply place. There's this liquid you can buy to try to keep the pool from developing black algae. Pour that in. God knows what kind of toxic crap was in that stuff. And now just hoping that by tomorrow everything is okay.
Are you going to take a grace period of not going in the pool after
yeah.
all the chemicals you just put
yeah,
in?
Yeah, you don't go in the pool. Nah, we're done until tomorrow, at least till tomorrow, if not sooner. But this black algae stuff is a disaster, and Adrian's dealing with it in his pool. He's got it, too.
Yeah, I need a full report, Steve, once this is done, once you get back to your house tonight. And if this indeed works, I'm going to be doing pretty much the same thing.
You know what? That's probably the best thing. Now, do you keep your pool covered, Adrian?
No. This is the year I need a new pool cover. So I'm in the market right now.
I'm going to start covering the pool again. Because here's the deal, okay? If you don't cover your – and this is all this chemical stuff and you learn. If you don't cover your pool, the sun, it's so damn hot outside, and the heat, what it does is it lessens the chlorine in the pool because the sun just completely neutralizes it. So when you have those heat covers, even though the water gets hotter and hotter because some of those are like solar covers, the whole point is it's blocking the sun from directly hitting the pool, which then will allow the chlorine levels to be a little higher, especially if you have a... what do you call this? Like we've got, it's a salt generator where it takes the salt splits the atoms because it's sodium chloride and the chloride becomes chlorine. So that's the whole idea is you're taking salt. Listen, it's such a pain in the ass. You have no idea. And that's one of the reasons why if I wasn't in this business, my father-in-law was in the pool business for 25 years and he did very well for himself because owning a pool and operating a pool is not easy. It is a regular job in itself. So went home for the afternoon and was out there trying to get this stuff done. And as I'm finishing, and I'm just a mess. I mean, you know, go take a shower and all that. My wife says to me, "Hey, you know, maybe we should just, you know, call and hire somebody." And I'm like, "Couldn't you have told me this 45 minutes to an hour ago before I'm out there in the pool trying to do it myself? Seriously?
Like, do you guys use the pool a lot? Like, do you, you know?"
We do. Not a lot, but we do. Yeah, like this time of year, we're in it a couple times a week.
Okay, that's the follow-up right there, Steve, because I need to jump in here. My wife always asks me, is it worth it? Is this worth it? Do you have the justification that it is worth it?
1,000% yes.
Okay, that's all I need
to know. 1,000% yes.
Okay.
This has saved us from joining a country club.
Okay.
You know how much that costs. And the truth is that as long as you give your pool some TLC, it'll be fine. That's the key. But if you don't, and you disregard your pool, and you don't take you know, the chemical checks and all that kind of stuff, and you just let it go away, then it's a nightmare. Right. It could be an absolute nightmare.
It's safe to say that the cover is going to be worth it so that you don't end up having to deal with black algae again, hopefully.
We have a cover. Why it's not on there, I don't even know. But we have a cover.
Oh, no.
So the cover just needs to be put back on there.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then, Adrian, do you use your pool enough to make it all worth it?
That's the great question, because I could count on one hand this year of how many times I've been inside the pool, and it hasn't been an issue necessarily, you know, all about the water necessarily. It's mostly about the time and just timing and stuff like that. Like, I need to carve out some time to do this kind of stuff. My wife has gotten it twice this whole year so far, so it hasn't been used on her side. However, I like to justify it in my head. I'm like, all right, at least I got to get in once a week. I got to get in, you know, at least twice or three times a week to justify it to me, like, why we're doing this, why we have this pool. That's how I have to justify it in my head.
You have a nice pool.
You have a nice pool.
Well, yeah, there's a lot goes into it. Trust me. Thank you. But yes, it's not. So
whose pool's bigger contest?
Well, him. Steve has the nicer pool. My pool is older, and I'm doing a lot of TLC to try to keep it going.
Listen, again, and Alberto, you just keep like shaking your head. Have you been dealing with pools over the years too?
No, but I've heard all these things like that. There are a lot of maintenance. You got to invest time and effort into them. They're not just like, oh, I want to get in the pool. No, it's a lot of hard work.
It seems like a very fatherly attribute. You know,
it is.
You get a house, you get a pool, and it becomes your another child, you know?
Listen, I don't – it's so – first off, to build a pool these days is expensive. It's going to cost you probably $80,000 to $100,000 just to build a pool. So if you inherit a pool with the house you buy, meaning you either get into a second house or the house you're looking to buy has a pool, that's the way to go. But all I'm telling you is it's not easy. It is not easy at all, because things just happen. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're doing upkeep and doing that. And my whole deal is that, you know, if I don't do it now, then what? Do it at 7 o'clock tonight when I get home and run the pump all night just to try to handle things after we put the chemicals in? So I'm like, you know what? It's 12:30. I'm going home. I'll have lunch. I'm going to go work on the pool, get it done, and go from there. And hope that everything is good to go. But it's just not easy.
You were determined today, though. That's good.
Today was a mission.
That's good.
Yeah. And by the way, if you ever want to see what black algae looks like, I'm going to show you right now. I'll give you a picture. This is essentially what your whole floor of your pool is like.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's like that everywhere. No. So it's just like these little flakes everywhere, and it keeps growing more and more and more if you don't treat it. So that's the key. You got
to
get rid of it.
If you were to let it keep going, would it just continue to get darker and darker and darker? Photo of how, like,
algae,
you know,
is a plant. So it'll just keep spreading, especially if there's not a high enough chlorine level to kill it in the pool. So that's the idea. That's what it's all about. So we're gonna shock that pool and make sure that the chlorine is high enough where we're good to go. And covering it will hopefully do that job. So that was my morning. That, you know, we got the Panthers winning the Stanley Cup. Congratulations to Florida. Nice try, Edmonton, winning three in a row, nearly doing it. We got lots of baseball. Chihuahua's back on the road tonight. We've got the NBA draft Wednesday and Thursday. You're here. You just got through a big barbecue event over at your coach's house over the weekend. There's a lot going on around here. So I don't want to spend too much time on the swimming pool, but all I could tell you is this. Those of you that have a pool, that listen to us regularly, you probably either A, have somebody that takes care of your pool every week, or B, you do it, and you all realize just how difficult it can be if you neglect that pool. You have to take care of it if you want it to not give you problems. That's the key. So, all right. Back to the Panthers for a second. Did you watch any of the Stanley Cup Finals?
I didn't get a chance to watch the final game, no.
Okay. Adrian, did you see it?
Yeah, of course.
I watched it too.
Great
Alberto,
game.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I was watching it too.
Plundo.
Of course.
Okay. Alberto, did you think that Edmonton was going to win?
I thought they were at least going to tie it. I was like, this can't stay 2-1 forever, and it didn't. That kind of disappointed me, but hats off to Florida. They got it done.
They did. And when it was 1-1, I just kept thinking, who's going to score? Whoever scores the next goal, they're in the driver's seat. And when the Panthers scored, you know, I give Edmonton a ton of credit. They did everything they could. But you watch them in the last couple of minutes, they were gassed. They had nothing left. Poor Connor McDavid, who won the Conn Smythe for the most valuable player in the Stanley Cup, he was on the ice almost the entire final 5 minutes of the game. Like, there was nothing they could do. And it was tough because they had some chances. They had a couple of golden opportunities where they just missed on a breakaway or like on an up, you know, like that. And they never got close after that.
Did we think that Edmonton had any hope when they were down 3-0? Because I remember being in on the show multiple times where, you know, it seemed like the consensus was is that now this series is going to be put away real quick and there's not going to be much to it. And obviously, you know, that wasn't the case.
None of us thought Edmonton had a chance. In fact, Corey Hion, who joined us on the show to talk hockey, he was, you know, we were all talking about this, you know, hockey players are superstitious. So he sent us a text after it was 3-0 and then the Edmonton Oilers won. He sent us the same text when it was 3-1, the Edmonton Oilers won to be 3-2. Sent us the same text exactly the same time, and the Oilers won to be 3-3. So he did it again last night, hoping that the superstition can work a fourth and final time to give the Oilers the Stanley Cup, but unfortunately, they just fell short.
It just wasn't enough.
Not enough. But it was a great series, great game, a lot of fun to watch. And unlike the NBA Finals, this thing lived up to the hype because give the Oilers credit. You know, it's not easy coming back from 3-0, but you imagine how deflating it is to know there's one of two things that happen. Either A, it's the biggest collapse since 1942 when the Maple Leafs were the last team to do this and win. And you would never hear the end of it in South Florida because the Panthers would have blown a 3-0 lead and that would be demoralizing. Or it's like, God, Oilers, you're so close. You're so close. But you come up short after you came all the way back to tie it at 3, which is demoralizing to a team. Nobody cares about effort in the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, losing in Game 7, if you come back from a 3-0 deficit, nobody cares. It's like you either win or it's a failure. And that's what's so difficult in sports. When you come back from 0-3, you force a Game 7, you lose, and then you realize we failed.
Exactly. I mean, we could sit here all day and say how great it was to come back from 3-0 and tie it back up and bring it to a Game 7. But the truth is that without the win in the finals, no one's going to talk about that after a week.
That's right.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I really got to give, you know, credit to Edmonton. I mean, being down 3-0 and then just coming back and pushing it all the way to a Game 7 against a well-constructed Panthers team, props to them. And Connor McDavid even getting the Conn Smythe trophy, even though being on the losing side, I mean, just goes to show you how incredible McDavid has been this whole postseason. And really, I think the Oilers, they can get back to this big game. They can. They just need to get a better goaltender, like maybe a guy like UC Saros out there that they try to pursue from Nashville. I really think if Edmonton just has a more competent goaltender that can get them out of these big-time situations, I think Edmonton will find a Stanley Cup in their foreseeable future.
All I know is this, okay? Last night, you think about it, and the Oilers' defense did a great job. Stuart Skinner only had to make 19 saves out of 21 shots. That's not a lot of saves. 21 shots is nothing. In fact, Bobrovsky stopped 23 out of 24 shots. So when they came back, I thought Skinner played really well. Like, I don't blame Skinner for losing Game 7 last night. You score one goal. And the truth is, in Game 7, you got to get more than one pass Bobrovsky to have a chance to win it, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta give credit to Skinner, too. I mean, he definitely showed up in these final games, you know, games 4-7. He definitely played a lot better than the start of the series, but unfortunately, it just wasn't enough. You know, a goal by Sam Reinhart in the second period just ended up being the difference, and a strong defensive play by the Florida Panthers were able to gas out the Oilers' top guys like Draisaitl and Connor McDavid and even Evan Bouchard, who had a couple of great chances. And you said it yourself, Steve. I mean, they were gassed at the end. They were out there longer than they should have been, and I felt if they got maybe, I want to say, like a little more rest and they kind of went out a bit later, like maybe with like a minute and 30 seconds left in the game, I think we would have saw a lot more of offensive zone pressure from the Oilers.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I thought they were going to do it in the third period, man. There's so many opportunities. Edmonton had a chance to, like Alberto was saying, at least tie things up, and it just didn't happen. So every time during the second period and really in the third period especially, I was just waiting for Edmonton to tie tie things up. I thought this one was going to go to overtime, but no, that's not the case. The Florida Panthers, give them all the credit, man.
Oh, yeah.
They had a chance last year to hoist the trophy itself, and this year they get the Stanley Cup, and they get it done. So all the credit to Florida and what they were able to do.
No doubt about it. All right, when we come back, Barry's here. Barry Cobrin was going to give us the lowdown on the field for the West Star Don Haskins Sumble Invitation. We'll get to Barry right after Charlie One, who has our first traffic update of the afternoon. 21 past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. It's always nice when Barry Cobrin can drop by. He is the chairman of the West Star Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitation. In fact, I'm looking at the official release that shows the teams that will be playing this year on December 20th and 21st. And it's going to be a good one. Barry, welcome back to the show. Good to see you. And I'll tell you what, for basketball fans, once again, getting a very competitive field, that's the goal every year. And knowing that two of the four teams that are going to be here were in the NCAA tournament, one even went on to the second round, I feel like that's a mission accomplished again for you and the committee.
That's always our goal. And two of them made the NCAA tournament, and a third one was only a few minutes short of making the NCAA tournament.
That's so right.
We almost had three coming from the – but that's kind of our goal every year. We want to bring in the strongest field we can for UTEP and for El Paso to see. And when that NCAA tournament field is announced, that kind of is our board that we're checking off and seeing how many we can get. One of the spots is always – we'd like to say for an HBCU that we've had almost 20 of the last 23 years or something like that. It's just something we're proud of, and we like to feature one of those schools every year. And then the other two, we're hoping to bring in NCAA tournament teams. And this year we were very successful, and we were able to do that. In fact, there were two big Cinderellas this past year. Oakland beat Kentucky in the first round.
Yep.
And had some great conversations with the Oakland head coach at the NCAA tournament. Couldn't do it this year, but I think he's interested. But the other team was that we were announcing is Yale is one of the schools from the Ivy League. And we looked at them. They were a 14 seed and played Auburn in the first round of the NCAA tournament, number 3 seed, and knocked off Auburn. So those were our two Cinderellas, and we really focused on them. Akron is coming, and Akron was an NCAA tournament team. They were also a 14 seed. I think we lost to Creighton in the tournament this year. And then the third team joining UTEP and the rest of the teams will be Jackson State, coming back for their third time this year, who we're very excited to be bringing in as well.
Let's talk about them. All right. So now Jackson State, because that's going to be UTEP's opponent
right.
In the first round. They were led last season by Ken Evans Jr. He was the National Co-Player of the Year for the HBCU. He was the SWAC Player of the Year. Will Evans be returning for Jackson State?
I was talking to Eddie Morales today, who did an unbelievable job getting this out really quickly. And, you know, for us to – we've always put this together, and we've always highlighted players. Nowadays, that's hard to do because of the portal, because
yep.
players come and go so quickly. I don't think he will be returning, but they're going to bring players in through the portal as well. And we expect Jackson State to be really strong. They've had two good years under Coach Mo Williams, who is their head coach. And we like to feature our head coaches a little bit. Mo Williams was an NBA All-Star, NBA champion, played in the league 13 years, mm-hmm. I think, led a group of ragtag role players at Cleveland for the Cavaliers to the NBA championship. Had a good teammate, I think.
Yeah, it's nice when you get to work with LeBron and win a title. That always helps,
but
doesn't
Mo was an all-star as well. I actually looked it up. Mo was a teammate of UTEP's own Earl Boykins with the Milwaukee Bucks one year.
Really?
05-06 Bucks. Earl averaged 14 and Mo averaged 17 that year. So they were two of the instrumental players on that Milwaukee Bucks team. But we're excited to have Mo Williams. And you know, how we got Jackson State, I remember telling you the story last year when we were announcing the field. You'd ask me who I had for this year, and it went back and forth, but we talked about Jackson State. And we had met them at the Final Four the year before and ran into some of the coaches. And I said, hey, Jackson State's been here twice. Do you remember? We had a great player in the field named Trey Johnson in the field that
year.
They said, hold on a second. They brought him over. Trey was the associate head coach. He's currently the associate head coach at Jackson State. So he played in our tournament in 06, but I'm downplaying him because Trey Johnson holds all of the Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational, the Westar Don Haskins tournament records for a single tournament. Trey,
he was amazing.
Trey had 66 points in the tournament, 49 in one game against UTEP. And I looked it up. Jackson State was 1 point away from winning the entire tournament that year. And they didn't win the tournament, but Trey was the MVP, which I can't remember too many times where the MVP of our tournament didn't come from the winning team. But he was so dominant. You know, he broke the tournament record held by Big Daddy David Latin for the whole tournament. You know, he holds just all of them. The single game record was Antoine Gillespie at 37. He scored 49. So and this is in 63 years. So he just dominated that tournament that year. And Trey helped us immensely getting Jackson State to come, and we're excited that they'll be coming back for their third trip. The first time they were here, they were led by Andy Stoglin, the head coach.
Andy Stoglin also here in 06, or was he already gone
by then? No, I don't think
he
was. It was Tavester Anderson was the head coach that year. But Andy brought him in 2000. That was the first time we brought him. So we were very glad to have Andy here.
Well, it's nice, too, because the Jackson State Tigers have been to El Paso many times over the years to play UTEP, and now bringing them back for a third time, but it's the first time in, almost 20 years here for this tournament. That's a big deal. And then you look at the other game that's going to happen with Akron and Yale. Let's talk about the Zips for a second, because they won this thing back in 2016, and that was when they beat UC Irvine in the first game, Maryland Eastern Shore in the championship game, and what they were able to do this past year was go to the tournament themselves, the NCAA tournament, which is a big deal. And, you know, you look at their roster, they've got some transfers, they've gone into the portal, and 24 wins last season, that's a pretty big accomplishment, isn't it?
Yeah, Akron is a team that I've been working on for a few years now. We actually had this team under contract during COVID and didn't have the tournament that year, and I've been talking to them every year and couldn't make it work, but we finally got them to come back. Coach John Gross is the head coach, and he was not the coach the first time we were here. We had to start over with a whole new group who really didn't know us very well. But Coach Gross was at Illinois for 5 years, took him to postseason play four of those 5 years, and was very successful there. He's now the head coach at Akron, done a great job there, won their conference this year, went to the NCAA tournament. Very good team. We're excited to have them. And we do really well in the MAC, the Mid-America Conference. It's a great basketball conference. Kent State's been here 3 times, I think. We've had Buffalo. We've had Toledo. We've had a number of schools. Eastern Michigan with Earl Boykins, even going back to the MAC. It's been a number of years. But we're excited to have Akron, especially coming off an NCAA tournament appearance. And we expect them to be very good again as well.
Funny enough, one of their leaders last season could very well be drafted this week. Enrique Freeman was their guy.
Right.
And he was their player of the year in the WAC unanimous selection. And now it looks like Enrique Freeman could potentially be an NBA draft pick here in the next couple days.
Yeah, he started at the G League combine and moved all the way up to the NBA combine and has really been impressing some people. So yeah, he could definitely get picked tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. But these schools all produce quality players, and you're going to see a number of them this year.
Yeah, absolutely right. We're with Barry Cobrin from the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitation as we continue here on the show and talking once again about all the players that will, you know, all the teams that will be coming in this year. One other name I think it's important to mention, and that is Ali Ali. And I believe he is also going to be back for Akron this upcoming season. And he was somebody who was part of the first team for the All-MAC.
Yes, they're reloading as well. But yes, I believe he is returning as well. And we expect Akron to be very tough and compete for a title as they come here.
We'll talk about the Yale Bulldogs in a moment, but before we do that, let's send it over right now to Michael Plundo. He's standing by with us, bottom of the hour, SportsCenter update.
Hey, Adrian brought us over here. Steve, I'm going to take this one here as we continue on 600 ESPN El Paso. Let's go over to all the live scores going on right now in the world of baseball. Actually getting underway here in less than 5 minutes. Guardians-Orioles. This one, 4:35 first pitch out in Baltimore, about to get underway. Also, less than 10 minutes away from first pitch between the Phillies and the Tigers. That's at 4:40. A 4:50 first pitch between the Mariners and the Rays. That's coming up here at this hour as well. And then the televised game of the night. TBS will have it. The Battle of New York. Yankees-Mets. 5:10 first pitch coming up here at the top of next hour. Also later tonight, 7:40 start. ESPN Plus will have it. Nationals taking on the Padres. This one in San Diego coming up later tonight. Going over to the Copa America from earlier today. Actually, this one about to get underway. Peru versus Canada. This one on FS1. This one actually at the 28th minute mark. No score in this contest so far. Also in the group stages of the Copa America, it's Chile taking on Argentina. That's an FS1 game as well, and this one will be a 7 o'clock start coming up here later tonight. Also, let's go over to some more news in the world of soccer. How about this story today? Austria's aggressive and hard-running approach propelled them in the round of 16 of the European Championship today in a thrilling 3-2 victory over the Netherlands, and that saw them not only progress, but also snatch the first place in Group D. That is as part of the 2024 European Championship group stage. Again, Austria defeating Netherlands today 3-2. That's a look at your SportsCenter update for 600 ESPN El Paso. I'm Adrian Broaddus.
All right. Thank you very much, Adrian. As we continue here on the show, we've got right now Barry Coburn with us from the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitation. The Yale Bulldogs, they were the team that not only went to the NCAA tournament like Akron, they beat Auburn 78-76 in that first round. That was one of the big upsets. You bring the Bulldogs here for the first time ever. This is a big get for you, isn't it?
It's huge. You know, we've had Ivy League teams come three other times. We've had Princeton came twice, won it in 96. We're here in 04. Columbia was here in 02. Yale has been, other than Princeton, probably the two best teams in the Ivy League. They both kind of penned for a while. There was good, but I think it's lately been Yale and Princeton have been the two best. James Jones is the head coach there. He's been there 25 years now, I think. He's pretty close. I think when he's here, he may be competing to win his 400th game. He's going to be real close, I think, at that point. He's right around 400 wins. Great winning percentage. Been to the NCAA tournament four times. Won the Ivy League seven times, I think. Really good coach. It was a good story how we got them. Obviously, they were on our radar because they had beaten Auburn when we went to the NCAA, to the Final Four. Spent 2-3 days just looking for coaches everywhere. We work really hard all day, all night, looking for coaches. They get tired of seeing us. And finally, you know, we come back Sunday morning and the games are Saturday night. And we, by the time we get to the games, our work is done. We're sitting up there just trying to watch some basketball at that point. And I'm sitting there, David Lynn Huber and I are sitting at the game pretty high up in the stands, not too high up. And we look over two seats over. James Jones is sitting next to us, basically. So we sit there for two games next to the Yale coach. Just sometimes you just got to get lucky.
Yeah.
You know, and we talked to him a lot about our tournament, told him what it's all about. He'd heard about us a little bit, and obviously he'd been around 25 years, so he definitely heard about us. And we followed up with him. He was excited about it. He turns out a former assistant of his was the head coach at Kent State that's been here three times, who made a phone call for us. It's just, you know, you call in your connections, and one thing led to another. So one of the biggest Cinderellas from this past tournament is now going to be in our tournament this coming year.
And is this the second Ivy League school behind Princeton that's been in the tournament?
Columbia was also here one year.
Columbia.
Armand Hill coached. I don't know if you remember him from the NBA, but Armand Hill was the coach at Columbia when they came. That was, I think, Billy's first year or Rabideau's first year. I forget who it
was. Okay, so been a while, too. So
that was two. I'll write it down a second here.
It's either 03 or
02. 02.
Okay.
When Columbia was here. But yeah, Princeton, you know, we've had so much success by bringing in that Princeton team in 96. Three assistants became head coaches, brought their teams. That's how we got Georgetown. That's how we got Rutgers. That's how we got Denver. That's how we got Northwestern, all because of Princeton. So Ivy Leagues have been very good to us, and we're excited to have Yale coming in. obviously one of the best schools in the country to bring in that. And I think they're going to get a great cultural experience coming here, the school, and just as the other schools as well. And they're going to bring a great basketball team in here. So we're excited to see them play, and hopefully fans will get out there and see some real quality basketball.
December 20th and 21st, that's what we're talking about, again, with the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. And, I mean, this is probably the ultimate blueprint, right? You get two NCAA tournament teams from a year ago playing in the other game. You bring a team that, you know, UTEP will play that will probably be competitive, hopefully with a chance to get UTEP into the final day and play in the championship. That's really all you can ask for.
Right, and we're bringing in probably a top 100 quad two type team coming in. I think Yale was ranked in the low 80s and Akron was just under 100, I think, at the end of the year last year. So, we hope to get a real quality, maybe one of the best non-conference home games UTEP will have probably in that second game. They'll play either Akron or Yale for sure, so it'll be one of their toughest opponents coming in this year, I'm sure.
Barry, you know, when you got a chance, I know that UTEP always says, last year I remember Joe Golding was like, man, you guys gave us this draw as far as quality of teams. This time around, having this heightened quality of teams, has UTEP got a chance to see this? What's their reaction and response to this?
You know, we don't do this without letting a UTEP know who's they're involved in it. They know who we're talking to and who's going to be in it. And they know it's a strong field. And, they're getting a chance to have a team that they normally would have to pay a lot of money to play in the first round that comes in to play them. We're bringing in that. And then they get a chance to have a really quality opponent on their home court that they don't have to return the game to either, which, you know, normally these would be home and homes or they'd pay a lot of money to get that team. They probably wouldn't come. None of these teams would come on a guarantee. So we're providing them two types of games that are very difficult to get on their schedule, the non-conference schedule. So I think they're pretty excited. You know, last year they returned to the winner's circle of our event, having beat Wyoming from the Mountain West. You know, South Dakota State finished fourth in our tournament last year, went on to win their conference and go to the NCAA tournament. So the fourth place team was the one that played the NCAA tournament last year. So we tried to bring in quality, and we were able to do it last year, and hopefully we'll see how good these teams are coming again this year.
Barry, I think you can make the argument that whichever team plays in the final day against UTEP, that is the UTEP's highest quality home matchup of the season. I think you can argue that at least of the last four seasons. I was just doing the digging right now. I think you can make that argument. What would you say to that?
I won't tell Jason Hooten you said that. But
well, they're conference mates.
Oh, that's true. I forgot.
Yeah, put that
never
in
mind,
anymore.
Never mind. That was the old days. It was always New Mexico State. But no, we've got I think that's probably the case. I haven't seen too much of this year's schedule. I know they've got some road games that they're going to be in. Well, one's in Vegas. They've got some games there.
Yep.
But it's tough.
We're talking about that. This is a stronger field than the tournament they're going to be in Vegas.
I looked it up. Greensboro, Long Beach, and San Jose are the three that they'll be playing.
Which aren't bad. But no. this is going to be that second game, especially Yale or Akron. It's going to be a very difficult game, and there's a chance that one of those two teams will be right back in the NCAA tournament again.
Very good chance. That's kind of what we're looking at. And Jackson State probably has a pretty good chance of being in the NCAA tournament as well, because there's nobody really going to be dominant in the SWAC that they play in, so they've got a good chance. They won 15 games last year. That's a lot of wins for teams that go out and get beat pretty badly in the non-conference schedule to go out. They had to win 11 conference games to get to 15 wins last year, so they were pretty good in their conference last year. And I think Jackson State made a conscious effort. I think it was probably in 2001-2002. They brought in Deion Sanders as their football coach and Mo Williams as their basketball coach. They're definitely focusing on improving and trying to dominate that league and bring in quality coaches. And Mo Williams is going to bring players in just because of the fact that he played in the NBA for 13 years.
All right, here's what I want to know. Rocco Miller gets this scoop on Twitter yesterday in X. That's how we all found out about it because of Rocco. How long has all of these contracts officially been signed? Because I'm curious as to know how long it took him to get this after this was actually a done deal.
The last contract was probably signed. I was on vacation 10 days ago.
That's amazing. So 10 days after this last, the last contract was inked, he's got it and he's breaking it.
Yeah.
The guy breaks it every year. I mean, think about it. He's always the one. He's the one putting it out before any of us can get it. It's pretty impressive.
He's must be on the phone with every school. Say, who'd you sign today? Who'd you sign today? Who'd you sign today?
Rocco is an insider.
Yeah.
We know that.
We don't know who Rocco is, but Rocco's the guy.
Adrian, all I know is some guy named Rocco keeps getting all the scoops for this tournament.
Yeah, he knows somebody in this game that we don't, or maybe he's making the calls that we aren't. So there you go.
Well, I think Adrian's kind of fun, you know. He needs to get it going, you know. He should have known that kind of thing, don't you think?
I know. Come on, man.
You
know? Yeah. That's
Rocco,
what I'm saying.
Rocco in the Pacific Northwest. I think he's somewhere up in Washington, Oregon or somewhere. He's getting your scoops, Adrian.
Yeah, he really is, man. I mean, hey, we threw out there the Vegas Invitational, the Bahamas Tournament, so I think we were a little early on some of them. Yeah. We just couldn't get the one in our own backyard, the one that we talk about here all the time with you.
Yeah, it's true. Kate, it's kind of embarrassing that some guy named Rocco scoops everybody in El Paso for this tournament.
There's always some mole somewhere that has information earlier, and I don't even get it. You guys got to teach me how that even works.
We don't know. If we knew, we would have had this a few days earlier.
That's also a fair point.
So, Rocco's my brother-in-law.
There you go. That would be the ultimate. If you had Rocco in the family, that would be good. We want to meet him then. Bring him to the tournament. You know what? You should invite Rocco to this tournament. Considering he breaks it every year, you should offer him a chance to come and see the tournament.
I don't think I'm the only thing he's breaking. Go follow Rocco. You look every day. He's got everything. Not just tournaments. It's like so and so and so and so are playing a home and home starting. I think I saw UNLV and somebody today. He'd already announced. So yeah,
I'm with you.
He's tied in.
Good stuff. Hey, thanks for dropping by. Thanks for breaking the news. And then when we get closer to the 20th and 21st of December, we'll have you back. We'll do an in-depth deep dive on all the teams, talk about that, give away some tickets, and get people more and more excited about the Westar Don Haskins Sumble Invitation.
And Steve, I want to thank you for this past year. You broadcast our games for us and did a great job doing all four games, and we really appreciate that. And look forward to maybe doing it again this year.
I hope so. It was fun to be back and doing that. I enjoyed that a lot, and it would be good to get back and be a part of that. So hopefully that we can make that happen. And
if you have any connections on that, see if you can help me with that.
Yeah, I will. I'll try to see if I can figure out how we can get that done. Thanks. Thank you very much. All right. That's Barry Coburn joining us again as we continue. Take a timeout. Greg Sestero, 20 minutes away. The actor back in El Paso. We'll talk to him here in studio next. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. Conversations we're having with Greg Sestero, who's with us in studio today. Esteban says, if you go to Marfa, you have to go to Terlingua. There's a little recommendation from Esteban. Oscar at Oscar Junior 915 found out recently that New Mexico has light pollution laws, and that brings out the amazing night views. Well, there's a couple of interesting things we're learning from our listeners. Appreciate that. Well, Greg's got a film that will be completed in the next 12 months or so, and he's in town scouting. He's talking about that. It involves UFOs. I think it's going to be fantastic. And Forbidden Sky, the name of the movie. And this is going to be a good one, folks, as we talk to Greg and find out a little NFL. Now, here we are. We have the offseason. We've got a lot going on. I mean, Kansas City's in the middle of a dynasty. Bill Belichick is out of a job dating a 24-year-old. There's a lot happening right now in the National Football League, isn't there?
Yeah, so I heard the reason Bill Belichick didn't get a job is because his style of coaching now isn't what people are looking for. They thought he was, like, too regimented, too cold. And I think someone was mentioning that's where you're seeing him out now, doing more interviews, showing a sense of humor. Because I think people don't want to play for that type of coach that they saw in New England, which makes sense.
You know what I feel, though? I feel like Bill Belichick's public football, how can I put this? When he's a head coach, the personality he gives you as a head coach is not necessarily what you see behind closed doors, but he's always kind of given you that same personality. And now, all of a sudden, you're realizing there's more to Bill Belichick than two-word answers at press conferences every Sunday and Monday, that the guy actually does have a personality. Now, as far as the 24-year-old goes, it's not going to hurt his street cred, but I will say this. If he was coaching the Patriots now, and this story came out that he's dating a 24-year-old, there's a scandal there. Now, all it is it's a punchline to a Tom Brady roast joke.
Yeah, I think you got to stay in the news somehow. And so he's not coaching, and this is this is his way to stay in the news.
All right. Well, he's going to be part of the broadcast team. He's joining Pat McAfee, and I'm interested to see how that whole conversation goes and how his broadcasting career, at least for the time being, how that goes. Meanwhile, you've watched a lot of the offseason, the NFL draft, and everything has been put together. Are you still, at this point, putting the same teams near the top of your list as far as the 2024 NFL season?
You know who really impressed me last year was Detroit. I feel like they honestly should have gone to the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously, as much as I love the Niners, Detroit had that game, and they had been playing really well. So I think you're looking at, I mean, San Francisco, I think, is going to still be there. And, I mean, can't count Kansas City out. And I think it's going to be a hell of a year. I really do. And I think Detroit made a lot of great strides, and I think they'll be there. I don't know. What do you think about the Packers? Were another one that really jumped ahead in a way I did not expect.
They maximized. And I think the one thing about the Packers was the growth of Jordan Love. We saw him become a legitimate leader, not just somebody that's a project. He became a quarterback that got better as the season went along. They were better in that time period. Aaron Jones carved up the Cowboys again in the playoffs, which also brings us back to Dallas. Do you feel like the Cowboys lost so much this offseason in terms of departures, not really replacing it with the kind of players they need? Will they struggle this season in the NFC East against Philadelphia? And are the Eagles still going to be your team to beat in the NFC East?
Yeah, I think the Eagles will still be there. The Cowboys are a funny team because when you expect a lot from them, they don't give it to you. They let you down, and we don't expect anything from them. They might surprise us.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it. You have anything on that one, Kate?
I think the Eagles are definitely going to be the team in the NFC to beat. I still think that the Cowboys are always going to be held to the highest expectation and underperform, especially this year. I think we're going to continue to repeat history that way. But I think that this year for the NFL, the theme for me has been just a lot of question marks. There was a lot of movement around the league. The emergence of Jordan Love was something to really see going into last year's postseason, but the thing that stuck out to me the most is that they were able to do it with such a young team and young skill players around them, which reminds you a lot of you head down south a little bit with the Texans. You know, they have a very, very young team, and then they add a veteran like Stephon Diggs, and you wonder with these two teams that were able to prevail and do so well and move into the playoffs with young squads, you know, you add some veteran players, you add Stephon Diggs, what are these teams going to do kind of moving into their sophomore year, so to speak, as a group going into it, you know, with a year of playoffs under their belt.
I like the Texans. I like where they came along last season. And you're right, they got better this offseason.
Do you think Buffalo has kind of missed their window? Or you think they're still there?
No, it's closed.
Yeah,
think it's closed?
Yeah,
now,
it's over. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's over. I mean, if you didn't have, if you couldn't get it done with Stephon Diggs, I don't see how you do it without him.
Adrian, how about that? We don't even have to worry about the Bills anymore. Yeah. Alberto has just ended Buffalo's chances in 2024.
No, I'm not with you guys. I'm just going to say this: when you have a top three quarterback in the league, you're always going to be competitive. I mean, Josh Allen's the top three quarterback in this league right now. I mean, this is definitely going to be the rebuild year. But look at the roster and the talent that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs surrounded that team with, and they've made a run. You know, obviously, and won the Super Bowl. I'll ask you, Greg, if you had to choose between some of these younger quarterbacks, okay, I'll throw Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Justin Herbert in the mix. Who would you want here moving forward in the next 5 years?
So it's tough because I saw Jordan Love. I mean, he stepped up huge, demolished the Cowboys. He gets in against the Niners, plays great. They had that game. All they had to do was literally not make one of the 10 mistakes they made going forward. They would have won. They would have gone to the NFC Championship game, which would have been huge for their confidence. And Jordan Love does that thing where he throws across his body when all he had to do was throw it away or take a sack. So I always try to look for guys that make smart, calculated decisions early on. Don't try to be the hero. If you see... You look at Brady in that first Super Bowl, never tried to hit the home run, worked it down the field. So I was really impressed with Jordan Love. And then I look at Brock Purdy.
Is he that guy for you?
Jordan Love?
No, Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy is, I mean, if you look at what he's done the last couple of years, he's consistent. He's not, I don't know, like in the Super Bowl, they had that game. That was another one that they let slip away. But I don't know. It's tough. I feel like I haven't found, like, my hero quarterback yet. Like, my
You haven't found your Joe Montana.
My Joe Montana. Or even, you know, over the years, I've come to appreciate Steve Young.
How could you not? Because, I mean, he was a winner.
Because I quickly turned from Montana to Aikman because I didn't like the way they treated Montana. Love that 90s Cowboy team, and I went with Aikman. But
that's interesting. We didn't know that story. We didn't know that you changed allegiances at quarterbacks and went. You bypassed Steve Young completely, and you went from Aikman.
Emmitt Smith, the Deion Sanders team.
Yeah, and, well, they were great in the 90s. Yeah, they really were.
I would love, real quick, no debate on the topic. I just want to know, Adrian said that Josh Allen was a top three quarterback. Adrian, can you quickly list off your top three?
Yeah, Mahomes number one, Josh Allen two, and Joe Burrow three.
Interesting top three.
Interesting.
Yeah, it really is. Okay.
Oh, Lamar Jackson, I was going to say something. So I'm watching. They had that game at home, the AFC Championship game at home. Mm-hmm. And he makes those throws. I feel like one of the biggest things having in your top three quarterbacks, you got to trust him. Lamar Jackson makes that throw. You're like, what are you thinking? So,
and by the way, Lamar Jackson has struggled in the playoffs. That has been the one thing you'll say about Lamar is amazing regular season quarterback. But so far, the playoffs, he has not been able to demonstrate that same kind of domination.
That's right. Against Tennessee a couple years ago, four or five years ago, they go in there and demolish the Ravens. So, yeah, you're right.
All right. Bottom of the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. Who's handling SportsCenter this time around? You? All right. Adrian's back. He'll have it. Then we'll come back and we'll wrap things up with Greg. Talk a little more football right here. 600 ESPN El Paso. Stand the test of time, but they're constantly being brought up in conversations by so many people.
Yeah. I mean, over 20 years, I didn't expect anybody to ever see The Room. I know when I wrote the book, The Disaster Artist, my goal was for that to be turned into a film, which was amazing. That it did. So like I said, all over Europe, it's all over the world, really. The movie screens once a month somewhere, and that's just really hard to believe. You think of all the great movies that have come out, and you know they're on streaming and whatever, people line up to still watch The Room. It goes to show in movies, entertainment, we have no idea what's going to happen.
No clue, none whatsoever. In fact, that almost makes me wonder, has Tommy Wiseau ever been to El Paso?
I did bring him here for tacos before, because we went to the Marfa Film Festival for Best Friends, this movie we had made right after The Room.
Yeah.
Did bring him here, went for tacos, and then drove out to Marfa. He loved it. That was beautiful.
That's great. So you had a little like a little cameo in El Paso with him, is what it sounds
like. Yeah, and so, okay, so I took Tommy to the Whole Foods here in El Paso. Mm-hmm. We get something to eat there. We're sitting outside, and these two kids are circling us with their phones. And we're sitting there, and they're recording us eating, taking photos of us, got us outside, got photos. So the one time we went somewhere here in El Paso, we had people taking photos.
You didn't buy tacos at Whole Foods, right? That was something
no,
else.
No, I took them to the taco place up here. I haven't seen it. It's up near Montecillo.
Oh, okay.
It's like a little spot up there. And then we went to the Whole Foods the next day before we left.
You might have gotten to Lucy's by King's X. Is that where you took them?
Yeah.
That place is one of the best in town. So
he's like, my God, taco, delicious.
Dak Prescott, you tell me, is he the answer for the Dallas Cowboys long term? Not just this season, because the contract extension is still looming right now. The team has got cap situations. They're a mess because the amount of money that he will cost this team this season and perhaps in future years could really make this a big issue. Are you on the Dak Prescott bandwagon in Dallas?
It's tough to say. He came in strong, then they lost to the Packers in that playoff game. And, he'll keep you competitive, but, I mean, you can only go with what you've seen. I don't think he'll get you to a Super Bowl. Obviously, could be wrong, but to this point, I think he'll keep you competitive. If that's what you want, you want to make the playoffs and at least have a game or two. But what do you think about the Cowboys totally starting over, bringing in Bill Belichick, going with a whole new setup, draft young, and really try to, reboot?
Well, let me say this. If they don't win this year and they have a disappointing season, that will be the end of Mike McCarthy, because I think he has 1 year left on his contract anyway. He'll just coach it out. And then I could absolutely see Bill Belichick getting back into coaching with the Cowboys. It almost seems like the Cowboy way to go, right?
Yeah, because I think, they have everything. They have the star, they have the fan base, the interest, the stadium. Bring in a great coach, start over, get a new system.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't think that Bill Belichick's personality would clash with Jerry Jones. Sure. I mean, McCarthy's leaving because he's clashing with Jerry Jones, being undermined by him. I don't think that would work. I don't think that Bill Belichick would put up with half the stuff Jerry Jones does, and he'd want more control, and I don't think Jerry Jones would give it up.
Okay, I disagree with you completely. Let me tell you why, okay? Years ago, I think Belichick and Bill Parcells are very similar. And years ago, Parcells coached the Cowboys, and Jerry Jones let him coach the Cowboys the way he wanted to coach. And I feel like there are certain coaches in the game that Jerry Jones respects to the point where he will not interfere if he knows that that's going to lessen their impact as a head coach. And I think Belichick's on that short list for him. So if McCarthy doesn't get it done, you know, I could see Belichick getting into that situation, and maybe Jerry then takes a back seat the way he did with Parcells and lets him run the show.
And remember, they brought in Drew Bledsoe.
That's right. They did.
From the Patriots.
That's very true. Although this time around, it wouldn't, if it would be a veteran. Matter of fact, it might be a former 49er that takes over the reins of the team.
Could be, yeah. Because that's the thing with Belichick. He's not relying on one player to change the game. He's got a team. He focuses on defense. That's what the Cowboys need. I feel like consistency, a game plan. I think with them, you know, they're good during the year, and then they get into the playoffs and this gets scorched every time. I think they need just a stronger discipline.
I don't disagree with that. In fact, my question then is, do you believe as a 49er fan, Trey Lance could be the answer in Dallas?
I think give him a shot. It's tough to say. He was kind of weak with the Niners, but he, again, it was a quick, you know, quick chance. So I think give him, see what he can do, let him play some games.
Maybe the Jordan Love factor with Trey Lance in Dallas. Who knows? I mean, people were ready to just dump Jordan Love because they kind of felt like what they had seen in brief instances wasn't good enough, and then all of a sudden he came right out and developed overnight in that 2023 season.
Yeah, and that could be Trey Lance as well. So
yep. All right. So you've given us a little taste here on Sports Talk. Who is your sleeper team in 2024? Give me one team that's not necessarily on the list of the teams that everybody's calling, but you think has a chance to surprise some people here this upcoming season.
I'm not going to say the Jets.
Why not?
I don't know. I just think there's a lot of energy. Although it could be a total flip. Last year they thought they were going to be competitive.
Well, he played four plays. Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers played four plays.
That's what I mean. So this year they could come back really focused.
Okay,
make
that's
a change.
Fair. So we won't go to Jets. Who else you want to go with?
Trying to think. You got any?
I think one for me that I'm curious to see how they do is the Jaguars. I think that Trevor Lawrence getting a big contract, and there's a lot of question mark pieces on that team. I think that there's opportunity for them to do a lot better than people are expecting. I know they were a strong team last year and fell short. Yeah. I think they're one of the teams that could really prevail, maybe more than we're thinking right now.
All right, I'll take the Jags. That's fine.
I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Good pick, great. Especially because of their head coach. And I'm very interested now to see what Harbaugh can do with that offense. And ultimately, a guy like Herbert, who we all know has been pegged to be one of the best quarterbacks in the game for a number of years, just has not had the opportunity to put it together yet. Yeah. Maybe this will be the year. Maybe he's the guy that can get it done like he did in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think you look at like when a team brings in a great new coach or gets a great quarterback like Stafford, it's going to give him a boost this year.
All right. Good answer. I like that. Adrian, you have a sleeper on your team, on your list?
Well, I feel like we were just talking back here. I like the Texans a lot, man. Loved how they finished last season. Mm-hmm. Love C.J. Stroud. Love the young nucleus. D'Amico Ryan's built that defense up. So give me the Texans on the AFC side. NFC, give me the Bears. I'm buying into that roster and Caleb Williams. I like it.
All right. Alberto, you want to throw a sleeper at us?
Yeah, I mean, look, I was going to say Chargers that got taken, and I was going to say Texans that also got taken. So, I mean,
you can jump on. You can pick the same team.
Yeah, I mean, I also really like the Chargers. I think that
we can't go Texans as a sleeper pick.
That's what I also think too.
The iron is hot. They had a good season last year,
so it's like they're not coming off like a bad year. So yeah, I know what you mean. They're coming in hot and coming in great. So yeah, I think the Chargers are the ones that can have that biggest turnaround because they were horrible. That last playoff game they lost, I don't even want to remember. My friends are Chargers fans, so having to watch them watch that, I almost cried for them.
All right. Michael, you want to throw a sleeper at us?
I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons. You're bringing in Kirk Cousins to replace Desmond Ridder. You got talent on the offensive side with Drake London, Kyle Pitts. I think The offense is going to be better utilized now that Arthur Smith is not the head coach of that team anymore. I think you're going to see Bijan Robinson get a lot more carries than he did last year. I think the defense is going to be improved. I got high hopes for Atlanta this year.
All right. I'll take the Giants. I think Daniel Jones will have a bounce back season if he can stay healthy. They've given him some weapons. They've given him some receivers to catch the football, which he hasn't had the last couple of years. So nobody's picking the Giants right now. I think they'll make things interesting out there in the NFC East. All right. Did you make a pick yet or not yet?
No, my sleeper team was the Jaguars.
Okay, that's right.
But I do really appreciate both the men next to me picking my Chargers as their sleeper pick. I'm glad you guys have more hope than I do.
There you go. That's terrific. Greg, it is great to see you. Thanks for
always
being great with your time, coming and joining us here on the show.
My
have
pleasure.
A good trip, and we'll maybe get a chance to talk to you again next month when you're back in town.
Yep, you got it. Thank you.
You got it. He's Greg Sestero, folks, and he's joining us here on Sports Talk. We got plenty more, including El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame. We're going to meet Patsy next as Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso. The president of the El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame, Ruben Ramirez. Well, first off, Patsy, it is great to see you here. And thank you so much for coming in early. You got a chance to hear a little bit of Greg's conversation with us. And for us, just happy to have you here and welcome you as the class of 2024.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Has this week just been crazy for you?
A little over the top. Just, you know, so many, you know, they also this yesterday decided to name my high school track after my high school coach. So there was more like mayhem last night as well. So there's lots of stuff going on in El Paso right now.
It sounds like an amazing, amazing celebration it for is. You and everything that's really been a part of your career all these years.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm a little humiliated that I don't run anymore. I walk. I'm a walker now. But another inductee has inspired me to start running again. So I've started.
Well, listen, Patsy, there's nothing wrong with walking. That's what I do. I can't run either. I'm all about walking these days. So that's a certain age. I feel like there's nothing wrong with walking.
That's
true. It's okay. You still get exercise. That's all that matters.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. But everybody's saying, "Hey, do you still run?" I'm like, not really.
Ruben Ramirez, I'll ask you. I know you've gone through a couple of procedures with artificial limbs. Do you still run, or do you do more walking now than anything else?
Steve, I'm happy if I can crawl. But seriously, yeah, I had both my knees replaced, and I just do a lot of walking now.
Good for you.
Yeah.
This is your second go-round as president.
Yep.
You've had a chance to be through this once before, and now you're getting a chance to do it all over again. How much fun is it for you to get a chance to be around Patsy, all the Hall of Famers, and realize just how incredible this week means to so many different people around
you? You know, the good thing about this is that being my second time around, I really, really enjoy being the president. You know, you get to meet these inductees, and you really get to know them because, you know, we're at all the events. Saturday, we were at the baseball game. Last week, we were at city council. This week, we were at county commissioners. Today, we were at the Ray Sanchez High School event that we had mm-hmm. at the community college. And then we had the podcast afterwards with the inductees and stuff. And I tell you what, man, you know, you hear their resumes when they're submitted and stuff, when they're nominated. But to hear it live from them, it just has a whole different meaning. And there's some really special people in this class this year. There really is.
I agree with you. One that's right next to you, too, in Patsy Norman Brunson, who, truthfully, you know, I look at your career as a distance runner. You did some amazing, amazing things here in El Paso at El Paso High when you were running cross country for them. And then you had a chance to be part of probably one of the most decorated track and field programs ever when you came to UTEP.
Yes. Yes, so it was like right when running became very everybody wanted to be a runner, and there was not really much for women when I started, and I sound ancient, but it was not that long ago. It was like 40 years ago. So when I joined cross country in eighth grade, they didn't even have anything for eighth graders to do. So I had to wait until my freshman year to run, and then that's when the whole thing started.
Incredible. And by the way, you're also coached by one of the great cross-country coaches of all time in Danny McKillop.
Yes, that's correct. He was my coach. we all ran together, the boys and the girls, and it was a blast.
Man, oh, man. And by the way, I mean, you tell me, you know, you're winning the state championships in the state of Texas and having that kind of a decorated career as a high school athlete. Then you get to go to UTEP and you become an All-American. I mean, do you – I think we had Rita on yesterday, and she said that she, you know, kind of closed the chapter in her career because she moved on with her life, but this has given her a chance to open it back up, reflect on her accomplishments, and it really means a lot to her, especially with her kids who are a part of this. Same thing for you?
Well, we don't have kids, but absolutely. I mean, I remember it, and you know, I didn't think anybody in the whole world would remember it, and then these guys called and it's like, no, that was too long ago. But it, you know, it's given me an appreciation from here, looking back at the person I was then, and it was just, it was an incredible time, really. I mean, it was just, running was great. So I say, when I first started running, there was only 7 girls on the team, and then when I graduated, there was about 50 in cross country. It was just exploded, and I you know, everybody, I get a little too much credit, but people say sometimes that I kind of inspired a lot of athletes to come out, and I don't think it was me. I think it was the time, but it was great that, you know, you saw everything grow, and then there was, like I said, my freshman year, there was no events, to when I was a senior, they had, you know, varsity, junior varsity, freshman, you know, it just grew. Everything grew for women in those days. So,
I love it. Patsy, stick around. We're going to come back more with you, more with Ruben. Ruben, we'll talk about the big banquet tomorrow night and what that's going to entail, and we'll keep things moving here as we get you ready for Chihuahuas baseball in about 15 minutes. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso.
From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
All right, we got about 10 minutes to go. Then Tim's going to take over. Very cool story about Johnny Cueto pitching against the Chihuahuas tonight for all you baseball fans. Johnny Cueto, longtime big leaguer, and he has pitched against the Chihuahuas before. He'll do it again tonight. And that, again, starts up, our coverage starts up with Tim Wright at 6:10 on the pregame show, and then first pitch at 6:15 here tonight. All right, we've got everybody here. Michael Plundo, we've got also Alberto Dueta, Cade McConnell, and our last two guests, Patsy Norman Brunson, along with Ruben Ramirez from the El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame. Now, Ruben, banquets tomorrow night. Let's talk about that for a minute for people that either are on their way or people that had been hearing about the Hall of Fame. This is going to be once again at El Paso Community College, and they've been great partners with the Hall of Fame over the years.
Yeah, they have been. You know, one of the good things about the holding the banquet at the El Paso Community College is that it's a much bigger facility. So we're able to get more people in there, and luckily the last 2 years we've been able to do that. As far as the banquet goes, I got to say this up front. If you don't have a ticket by now, you can't come in. Mm-hmm. We don't sell tickets at the door, and the doors open at 5:30 tomorrow afternoon. We'll start the festivities around 6:15. We hope to have everybody seated by around 6:15 and let them eat dinner and whatever. And then our program starts at exactly 7:05. And thanks to you once again for being our master of ceremonies.
I'm just happy I'm in town because I was supposed to be on a trip back to El Paso tomorrow from Phoenix, and I was a little worried about getting here. So this makes it a little easier this time.
Yeah, it kind of made me breathe a little easier when you told me that you had kind of pushed everything back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I appreciate you, and we appreciate you, and it goes without saying that we really appreciate everything you do for the Hall of Fame.
No, excited about that. It's always one of my favorite nights of the year to see people like Patsy get inducted. And by the way, I mean, we talked about you know, some of your accomplishments earlier. What was your reaction like when you found out you got a call and you're going to be in the Hall?
I'm not worthy. It was really shocking and awing, awe-inspiring. It was amazing. A lot of time has passed, and I just didn't think anybody would remember me.
Well, I mean, now you know, and, you know, just having an opportunity, not just tomorrow night, but then your plaque's going to go up at the Don Haskins Center, and, you know, you attended UTEP, and you were part of that track and field and cross-country program, so seeing that, was that when really it's going to start to sink in for you?
Well, it's already starting to sink in because everybody that I've known in my life in El Paso is reaching out to me in a positive way, and when they find out, they're just, El Paso is a really remarkable place. It's filled with warmth and love, and I've never lost that love all these years. People just are so great. So it's you know, a lot of hugging and a lot of, you know, well wishes. It's been amazing.
Well, listen, you won state as a freshman. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. And you just had such a great career. Was there one particular moment that stands out amongst all the other moments for you as
an athlete?
Definitely
the freshman one, because I didn't know – this sounds extremely conceited, and don't mean it that way, but I didn't really know what it was like not to want to win. I won a lot in my freshman year, and luck, whatever. I won a lot. And so when I ran as a freshman, I really wanted to win. And I won. And it didn't mean that it was, it didn't hit me that it was state Texas. It just meant another race. And then when everything happened afterwards, my high school went ballistic. You know, they named a Patsy Norman Day and all that kind of thing. And then it hit me that, wow, I guess I did something. But up until that point, it was just I loved to run.
I love the fact, you love to run, and you also won a lot, so you were competitive, but you expected to win. I mean, Cade, you tell me, as a college athlete at UTEP, you expect to win every single time you go out, don't you?
You have to expect to win every time you go out, or else why would you be there? And Patsy, I can tell you that it wasn't luck that got you there, I promise you that. When you go out and you strap on the laces and you go out to run, luck doesn't get you across the finish line first. The will to win and expecting to win and the hard work and dedication and the talent is what puts you there, and you had all those.
Well, thank you very much.
I think that's very well put and exactly right. Has yours? You already have your speech ready? You good to go?
No,
somewhere?
I What do you want me to say? I want to know, what should I say?
I don't know. You have 5 minutes. You got to just knock it all out.
Well,
and just
I want to say
done.
Thank you, and then I want to say what it felt like, and I want to talk about what it was like running on the border, you know, where the guys on the Mexican side would brace us. It was all amazing. It was an amazing time.
Are you going to be like me? You're just going to wing it? Just going to get out there?
No, I'm going to stay up like everybody else until midnight and figure something out tonight.
Burn the midnight oil and yes. figure out how to get this done.
Yes.
By the way, when people hear the name Patsy Norman, and now Patsy Norman Brunson, yeah. how do you want to be remembered as far as an athlete?
I think it has to, you know, my husband's not going to like this, but I think it has to be Patsy Norman, because in my professional life, I live on the East Coast now, nobody can say Patsy. They call me Patty. That's not my name. So I go by Patricia Brunson. And so when I sign my name as Patricia Brunson, it comes out naturally. And then when I am Patsy, Norman always follows. So I'm either Patsy Norman or Patricia Brunson, but it's awkward to hear my name as Patsy Norman Brunson. That's a very new thing for me.
So Patsy Norman, we'll go with that, because okay. that is going to be your that is your alter ego
yeah.
from your high school and college
yes.
days at UTEP. And it'd probably bring back all those great memories
yeah.
from all those championships you had a chance to win.
Yeah. And that's who I was, and that's, you know, that's who I am, but I'm also this other girl.
I love it. Well, listen, it's been great having you here.
Thank you
so much for being
thank
here.
You
and congratulations.
So much.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
You'll see me. Okay, thank you.
Ruben, I'm going to ask you this. This year's class as a whole, I mean, you tell me, your first year back, how would you sum up the class of 2024?
Oh, this is a strong class, Steve. It is. And I got to tell you one thing. This young lady sitting over here to my left, she's as humble pie can get, bro. You know, we did the podcast a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame.com, you can see the podcast there live. I encourage you to go there and listen to what she was saying today. Very emotional. And I was sitting next to her. And I mean, all you guys that know me know how easy it is to make me kind of like shed some tears. And I had to like stop looking at her.
Yeah. Yeah, you get emotional quick.
I do. Too quick. But I tell you, if you really want to see the true side of Patsy, watch the podcast. I mean, she's an incredible woman. She is.
My
and
God.
All the inductees, you know, they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. A couple of people, Mike Williams, Jerry Rubin, maybe a little bit too long. You know what I mean? They
mm-hmm.
should have been in way before.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say that the queen that sits on top of that list is this young lady right here to my left. It's a shame that she wasn't put in beforehand, because, I mean, you know, you're reading her bio.
Yep.
She definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Incredible stuff, really, when you start to think about
yes,
it.
Yes, sir.
It's just that athletic achievement and
absolutely.
What she was able to do is pretty outstanding.
I tell you
really.
What, I remember when I was at the Herald Post and I was a young pup, you know, about 100 years ago, I remember going out and shooting Patsy out there at El Paso High. I do.
I believe it.
And
by the way, you also shot Cade. How about this? You go from young pup to Pat and Patsy to now a seasoned vet, and you get a chance to shoot Cade McConnell.
Well, let me tell you this about Cade. Cade knows that when he came in for his recruit visit, I was able to take his photographs when he came in. And from that minute that I saw him, I thought, you know what? This guy's going to be something else. And last year when he got in and finally got a chance to play, he proved me right. And I got to tell you, Kate, sitting here next to you, bro, not just because you're sitting here, but, man, I want to see you strap up those pads and get on that field, because I know that UTEP can do big things with you as their leader. And I mean that with every bit of my heart, dude, because you're an awesome, awesome young man.